Welcome. My name is Dr. John Barone, and I want to welcome you to the Kaplan Pathology Review class. We're going to be covering the highest yield facts in pathology. This course has been designed to follow your notes. I'm going to cover only the highest of yield, though. So from time to time, I will skip over some topics which are lower in yield and intermediate in yield. So that way you get the highest yield, the most bang for the buck. I'm going to start off by talking about the fundamentals of pathology. In fact, the first 10 chapters are going to be about the basics, the essence of pathology. The remainder of the book is going to be covering the sexy stuff. We'll go organ system to organ system and cover all those cool diseases, the real reason we got into medicine in the first place. So let's start off with the fundamentals of pathology. We'll start off with the definition in your handout. Notice that the literal translation of pathology is the studying of suffering. Now, I do not like that definition. I don't like to think of pathology as suffering. So as we study, I want you to study pathology. I do not want you to experience it. Okay? Let's keep it fun. The definition that I do like is under number C. The study of the gross and microscopic patterns of disease. That's really what pathology is all about. The body only has a limited number of responses to diseases. And once you understand the pathology patterns, you truly understand pathology. So let's start off, what are they going to test me on? Well, let's look at the overview. If there is an etiology to a disease, they can ask you about it. The genetic, the acquired mechanisms of disease. Second thing they can ask about is the pathogenesis. What are the sequences and patterns of cellular injury that lead ultimately to disease? Next, they love to give microscopic and gross pictures and expect you to understand what are the morphologic changes. And finally, the clinical significance. The exam is moving more and more towards you being clinically knowledgeable. So you need to know the signs and symptoms of diseases, the disease course, and the prognosis. What else can they ask about? They love to give you gross photographs of various organs. How do I want you to handle them? Well, I want you to do two things. The first thing you have to be able to do is figure out, what organ am I looking at? And for this, I'm going to use an example. And I'm going to start off with this organ. You want to take a look at the organ, you want to take a look at the size, the shape, the consistency, and the color. Those are all the features you want to utilize to figure out what organ am I looking at. This organ in particular happens to be the stomach. Notice the configuration. It sort of has this oval configuration, which I'm outlining here. The surface contains these structures. These are the rugal folds. Okay, once you've identified what organ I'm looking at, the next thing I want you to do is figure out what's wrong. What's the pathology? And obviously in this particular example, you'd want to look over here. Well, you'll notice this large area of ulceration. You notice that there are radiating folds coming from this area of ulceration. Okay, so one of the things you would think of is this a benign gastric ulcer or is this a gastric carcinoma? Okay, so that's how I want you to handle a gross photograph. The next thing that they could give you are the microscopic photographs. And sure enough, they love to give those. So let's go to a photograph of a microscopic specimen. What's the stain that we use in pathology? We use the H&E stain. It stands for hematoxylin and eosin. I want you to look now for a second at chart number, actually it's table number 1-1. And I want you to see that hematoxylin stains tissues blue to purple. What does it stain? Well, in particular, it stains three things. The first thing it stains is DNA and RNA. So take a look. Nuclei. Nucleoli will stain purple. What else does it stain? Bacteria. And finally, calcium. Those are the three big things on the exam. Let's talk about eosin now. Eosin is pink. It stains tissues pink. And there's a whole list here of different things that stain pink. I'll make it easy for you. In pathology, things that stain pink are proteins. Any part of the body that has a lot of proteins is going to look really pink. And that's going to be very important for diseases, because any disease that leads to the accumulation of proteins is going to look pink. Let's take a look at this photograph. This is a normal photograph of the normal human breast. Remember that the breast is composed of two structures. The ductal structures, which are these elongated structures, and these small round structures. These are the lobules. These produce the milk. The ducts will carry the milk to the nipple. Now, take a look. All the cells lining the ducts and the lobules look nice and blue to purple. They're staining with hemotoxylin, because hemotoxylin stains DNA. That's what cells contain a lot of. Notice in between the cells, the area in between is called the stroma. Notice that the stroma is pink because it contains a lot of connective tissues, proteins, especially collagen. Okay, let's move on to some other histochemical stains that they can ask about. In your handout, there's a whole list. The ones I want you to focus on are the first three. The Prussian blue stain is highly tested. It's a stain for iron. The next one is the Congo red. This is a board favorite. It's going to be on step 1, step 2, and step 3. Why? Because it stains amyloid. And finally, the last one is the acid fast stain. There are some special names. They call it the fight stain. They can also call it the Ziehl-Neelsen stain. Those stain acid fast organisms, like TB. Next thing they can give you are the immunohistochemical antibody stains, like cytokeratin, vimentin, desmin. And we'll talk about them a lot more later on. Let's move on to the ancillary techniques. They can give you immunofluorescence. That will be incredibly important in three different areas. The board loves to give immunofluorescence for those glomerulonephritides, the glomerular diseases. They also can give it to you for autoimmune diseases. And the last thing is to identify viruses. Let's go on. Electron microscopy. Again, this is going to be very important for renal diseases. Determining neoplasms. Where does this tumor come from? And finally, infections and genetic disorders. Okay. Last in your handout are molecular techniques. Again, we'll cover these as we get to the different diseases.